You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel welcoming you to this week's Dishin' and Swishin' podcast on hoopfeed.com. And I'm pleased to have Mitt with me right now, one of the rising stars of the WNBA, looking forward to doing big things for the Chicago Sky this upcoming season, and that is the defending rookie of the year, Elena Delladon. Elena, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Elena, first of all, welcome back to WNBA camp. I'm sure it's exciting to get the rust off and to start working with the coaches and getting things organized again.
Thank you. It's definitely great. Felt like a really long off season, not being around the coaches and the team as much. So it's incredible to have everybody back and, you know, getting into a practice again.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the off season. That was one of the primary reasons I wanted to have you here, because a lot of people speculate and talk about the need to go off season and still get in the extra playing time. Instead, You stayed here and you did an incredible amount of work in the community, and that's something that I really wanted to get into a little bit. Starting with the whole ambassadorship and being so involved in the Special Olympics, that must have been a tremendous thrill for you to be a part of. I know how important that is to you.
It really was an incredible thrill to be named Global Ambassador of the Special Olympics, because the Special Olympics is an organization I've been working with ever since I can remember. So it truly means a lot to me that, you know, they recognize my work in the community and then obviously on the court and wanted to name me that.
You know, and one of the things that also I particularly think is kind of neat about it is, you know, it also is a shot in the arm for women's basketball to get that kind of acknowledgement and that kind of participation from an organization like that. And it helps everybody get involved, not just, you know, in acknowledging of everything you've done.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely great for women's basketball, and hopefully, you know, I can get some other girls involved with the Special Olympics. We already do a lot of work, but hopefully I can get even more to inspire, you know, the women athletes out there.
Well, now, I also saw, you know, you were making some jump shots and hitting some shots during the NBA All-Star weekend and being out there, but I didn't know that shooting a hockey puck was in your wheelhouse.
It's not. They had to teach me right before I got out on the ice, like, how to hold the stick. I didn't even know if I was right-handed or left-handed with it. Somehow I was left-handed. And then I got out there, and the second shot, it went in somehow. I guess it might be a little bit of beginner's luck, but I tried to play it off of skill.
Hey, I think I'm convinced it had a direct effect on the Blackhawks winning those four straight games.
Thank you. I'd like to think so, too.
You know, so training camp opens up, and, you know, the Sky had a great season making the playoffs last year. One of the things that obviously has impacted the team already is the injury to Sylvia Fowles. How are things going to adjust, in your opinion, you know, to make up for some of that loss? I mean, I know obviously the coaches have some ideas as to who's going to play where, but, there's an extra scoring burden and rebounding burden that has to shift a little bit towards you.
Certainly, and obviously nobody on this planet can replace a Sylvia Fowles. She's incredible, so everybody's going to have to step up in their own position and do even a little bit more than they're used to doing, and if that means everybody else contributing to rebounding, just really anything, we really just need to step up these, you know, next couple of weeks as long as Syl is out, because obviously she was one of our biggest contributors last season. She gives you 20 and 20 every single night, so that's going to hurt without a doubt, but right now we're adjusting to it. We're trying to figure out who's going to be able to fill part of her role, but everybody really needs to step up to the plate.
Now, I know that you worked a lot on your outside game and your ball handling in the off season to try and play a lot more of the three. So does this sort of sidetrack that a little bit, or do you think that that's still going to be the goal, to have you, you know, more on the perimeter and not have to get pounded on inside so much?
Yeah, this doesn't sidetrack that at all. We've got a lot of great players at training camp who are able to fill both the four and five roles. So I'm still going to be able to get out on the perimeter and play both the three and obviously the four, too.
You know, now, normally preseason can be a bit of a drag, but you look at the schedule and you guys have two of the most fun set up preseason games. So, well, if you want to call it just the Florida trip a game. I mean, this is looking like a blast, this Walt Disney World trip, and then, of course, playing at the University of Delaware.
Yeah, this is incredible. Usually preseason games are a little bit boring, and you kind of are just going through the motions trying to figure out, you know, who's going to be on the team, who's going to contribute. But we've got some great trips ahead of us and some really great games and great competition. So I think it's going to be perfect to prepare us for our first game.
How much fun is it going to be playing back at Delaware?
It's going to be a blast. I can't wait to be in front of all those fans again because, you know, the last time I played on that court, I thought that would be the final time I would ever play there. So now to be back there as a professional athlete with my Sky teammates is going to be awesome.
You know, I think between your team last year and JMU this year, I mean, the CAA really is showing to be quite a strong conference for women's basketball, even regardless of whether you're there or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great that, you know, we've got some players now coming out and joining the league. So it's definitely very special for the whole conference, and hopefully we can continue to see that trend.
Now, you look at your roster. There's a, you know, you brought in Gatling as a first-round draft choice. What do you say now that you've gone through the whole first year? What do you say to your rookies about adapting and what they have to learn? What is the most difficult thing they're going to be facing?
I think the toughest thing is just, you know, coming in and being a pro and trying to figure out their role. That's something I struggled with. So I'm just trying to tell them to, you know, do what you did on the college floor. That's why we drafted you here. That's why we want you. So contribute in that same way. You know, use your voice. Don't be shy. And, you know, we want your role to be the same thing as you were doing in college, and don't back down to that.
You know, it certainly is difficult getting camp ready with all these players that have been overseas and such. Yeah, that's something that, you know, I'm sure is difficult to get used to, where you're playing with all these new players, knowing that you're going to be fitting in other pieces to the puzzle when you have this mm-hmm. early a training camp this year.
Yeah, it is tough not having all of our players back from playing overseas, and then, you know, their season goes so long that when they come back, we can't be gassing them too much. We need to give them a little bit of a rest. So, you know, you still put the same looks out there, the same offense. We run through our defenses, just to kind of get a feel for it. And then as the players return, you know, they kind of just pick up where they left off.
So now you guys made such a run last year in changing your team around, making improvements. You look at the teams this year in the Eastern Conference, New York, Connecticut, Atlanta, Indiana, Washington all made massive changes to their rosters. You know, when you were sitting there on draft day watching all this go on, what were you thinking about the East?
I think it's great for the league to see all this movement, and it's exciting, and it's going to really change up, you know, the strength in the different conferences, and just, you know, you're going to get a brand new team each time you're playing them. So it's exciting for everybody in the league, and I also think it brings excitement for the fans too.
Now, the other thing, I did mention that camp started early, and all part of that, of course, has to do with the World Championships coming up at the end of the season. Now, mm-hmm. I know that you've been a strong member of USA Basketball before. You went to summer camp last year with the senior national team, and that was, you know, everybody was raving about your performance. How excited are you to get back into the USA Basketball uniform and possibly be a member of the senior national team going to the World Championship?
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. You know, after last season, we had tryouts out in Vegas. Those went really well. And, you know, you just start itching to play that USA Basketball again. So I'm thrilled for the opportunity that is at hand, and hopefully I'll be able to secure a spot on that team.
Well, Elena, I want to wish you luck for this season. I'm sure it's going to be a great season in Chicago, holding down the fort until Big Sil comes back, and then we'll expect the Sky to be running through people like they did last year.
Thank you.
Take care and good luck.
Hi, I'm Elena Deladon, and you're listening to Dishin' and Swishin'.
Well, things are certainly going to be different in Connecticut this year, where the Sun has turned over a lot of their roster, drafted high and often, and is looking to rebuild their team. One of the veterans that is going to provide leadership, Kelsey Griffin, formerly in Nebraska, big success in Australia, and back with the Connecticut Sun. I was able to catch up with Kelsey at Media Day, and here's what she had to say about the prospects for the 2014 Connecticut Sun. So it was ugly last year towards the end.
Yep.
So what are you looking forward to this year? What's different? What are you looking to bring? What are you hoping for the team in any and all, or any order you wish to answer?
I'm really excited about this year. Last year was definitely a grind. It's more of a grind than any season since I'd been at Connecticut, even though I was having one of my better personal seasons that I'd had. This year, with all of the youth that Ann and Chris have brought in, I think that brings this energy, this excitement, this this new feel to the team, obviously, with all the new faces. And so even though there will be growing pains in that process, the enthusiasm that people have to get better, to do what they're asked, is really exciting to be a part of. And so I'm very excited for that for this year. For myself personally, obviously I have to be a vocal leader, more so than I've ever had to be. I started to be more of one last year, but more than ever, Ann will need that of me. And especially now that I'm a veteran, considered a veteran, which is kind of almost crazy, but it makes sense. And I look back and I've, you know, started my fifth year. So, it's kind of in a nutshell.
And a nice contract, you know, security, job security is always nice to be appreciated.
Definitely, definitely it is. And so, I was excited to sign here for 2 more years. It's a really good thing for me.
Well, we're glad to have you here.
Thank you.
And clearly you had another great season in Australia. All the accolades and numbers certainly show that.
Yeah, Australia is just my niche. You know, it just feels like home down there, and I'm able to play to my strengths, and found a team that really utilizes me as a player and asks a lot of me, but yet it's not all about me. And that's one of the things that I'm really excited about with this year, is that I don't think it's going to be about any one particular player. It's going to be about our team. And I think that's what makes teams really hard to beat. You know, you look at Indiana the year they won the championship. You look at Minnesota and how it's every player needs to be guarded. You don't know necessarily who they're going to go to or who to focus in on, because everyone's a threat. And I think we have the potential. You know, will we find our potential this year? Will we maximize it? Probably not. But I think we're building a team that has the potential to have some amazing chemistry and really exciting to watch.
You mentioned that you used the word grind to describe last year. I would say drab and boring as well. It just wasn't a fun brand of basketball to watch.
Mm-hmm.
How do you reconcile, you know, the success that you had and the failures the team was having at the same time? That's got to be tough to try and, you know, sort of reconcile to yourself, being somebody that is a team player and isn't just all out for the statistics.
Mm-hmm. It was a difficult battle, but I knew at the end of the day, regardless of how my teammates wanted to play or how they were feeling about their situation or the changes that have been made, that, you know, I've been asked on the team to do a certain job, and I wanted to do the job to the best of my ability. And with it being a contract year, you know, I didn't know if Connecticut would want me back or not. And so every game is a potential tryout for another team. And also to take pride in myself and my brand and what I represent on the basketball court. And all the struggle that I had going into last year, it would have been for nothing if I just would have handed it all in and decided, oh, because of the changes made or because of what was going on. And so I really took pride in who I am as a player and what I believe should be what the fans deserve. And so that's kind of what led to my success, I believe, last year.
Clearly you were comfortable with, you know, being here, coach and staff, the front office, everything, with, you know, since you signed this extension, I mean, obviously you were happy here and wanted to stay.
Exactly. Well, I think what I really appreciate from Ann is she's pretty clear on what her expectations are, what she needs of you and what she expects of you. And I hadn't always had that. I was still trying to find myself, what my role was on the team previously. And so for Ann to be pretty clear and concise as far as what she needed from me, was a breath of fresh air for me personally. And so then I had a benchmark where I could know if I did well, if I did what the team needed, even if we may not have won, that I did my role and I did what I was supposed to do while I was out there, which was really helpful for me personally.
We had talked last year at this time, actually, about the fact that you were bouncing between the 3 and the 4 and they never could put you into one position.
Yeah, and I think, and that's what I'm hoping. I mean, I'm not going to get any taller. I'm not. I wish I could some days, but most days I'm pretty happy with my height. But the one thing I can do is I can work as hard as I can. You know, I can give 110%, and I think that that's one thing I'm hoping I proved to people last year was that, you know, it's not really the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. And so I was able to go out and give it, and yeah, some of the players probably outweighed me by 20 pounds or maybe had 2 or 3 inches on me, but you know, if they couldn't catch the ball or they couldn't get the ball where they wanted to, that it, I could make it difficult, I could make a difference.
So let's talk for a second about that jersey in the rafters.
Yeah.
How cool was that?
I still struggle to find words to express what that means to me. When I went to Nebraska, I never expected to get my jersey retired. I really didn't know what to expect going to Nebraska. And so when they gave me the call and said it was actually going to happen, I was just speechless. And it's amazing going back and knowing that it'll forever be there no matter what happens. In my career, no matter what I do from here on out, that will always stand there. And the fact that I got to do it with such amazing people in college makes it even better.
Yeah, Coach Yori's got quite a little powerhouse building out there.
She is. She's doing pretty good for herself.
That's what we got. We got 2 in the W with you and Lindsay, mm-hmm. and now 3 with Jordan being drafted where she is.
Yep. And it sounds like I'm really bad at Facebook, and I'm really bad at keeping up with people, but it sounds like she had a pretty good first day of camp too, so she's knocking down some shots. And so Connie had emailed me and asking me to give Jordan some advice, and I was like, go early, stay late, know your plays, and just do what you're best at. And that's, you know, that's why they drafted you.
Well, I think she found a pretty good place too. They could use somebody on the wing like her.
Exactly.
So what are your expectations for this team for the season?
I think if any team goes into a season and doesn't expect or want to win a championship, then they're in it for the wrong reasons. So even though we've had huge changes to say, oh, we can't have a championship because we lost these players or we're so young, it's selling ourselves short. Now, in saying that, we have a lot of work to do and a lot of growth that needs to happen, and that needs to happen really quickly. And if we don't win a championship this year, what we can do is lay down a foundation to create a successful team and a successful program here once again. And I think that laying down a strong foundation of what the identity of Connecticut's going to be is probably going to be the most important thing that we can do this year.
Fans, this is Latrina Robinson, and you are listening to Dishing and Swishing for the latest and greatest in women's basketball.
As we continue looking on this week's Dishing and Swishing at some of the Eastern Conference teams in the WNBA, there is no better ambassador for the WNBA, for everything it stands for, and for basically all that's good in people in the world, and Tamika Catchings. And one of my favorite people joins us again on Dish and Swish. And now, Catch, how are you?
I'm doing great, David. How about yourself?
I'm doing just fine. I'm always good when I'm talking to you.
Aww.
Well, let's talk right away about the biggest thing that's happened, I think, to you of late, of all the honors you've received. That must have been really special this past weekend, having a court named for you for kids to play on.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, the idea came around last year. I actually spoke at the Indy Park luncheon and did my little speech. I was keynote speaker, and then after kind of like saw people congregating in the front, like getting ready for a big presentation. So I'm kind of like, what's going on? And next thing I know, they're like, Tamika, we want you to come up here. And I went up there, and they presented a check to Catch a Stars Foundation. And they also said, we're in honor of the city or from the city to you. One of the things they're working on is refurbishing courts, and some parks didn't even have outdoor basketball courts. So they were doing that, and they said, we're going to name our first court after you, Tamika Catchings Court. And I was like, oh, my gosh, greatest moment. And, you know, just to kind of see how things have transpired over the last year, we did the ground digging and the shovels and all that. There literally was no court, no nothing. It was just rolling hills, and they went in and flattened it out, put the cement down, of course, and, you know, here we are now celebrating the the Tamika Catching Court. So we had the ribbon cutting, and then we actually threw a little mini clinic underneath the foundation just to have some kids around and to provide an opportunity for them to be the first one to be the official welcomers to the Tamika Catching Court.
That is so awesome. Now, earlier on the podcast, I talked to Elena Deladon, and we discussed her global ambassadorship with Special Olympics. But, Yalcetch, you have always laid down the gauntlet and set the bar pretty high for people for giving back to the community.
Yeah, and I think that's important for all of us, you know, no matter whether we're professional athletes or volunteering, whatever the case may be. I know the volunteers that work with my Catch the Star Foundation, they're very instrumental in the kids' lives. And when the kids see them out and about with wearing their shirts and all that, I mean, they get really excited. And I think same thing when you look at the WNBA players and just the access that we have to the community that we're in, you know, you take advantage of that. And I'm proud of Elena, you know, for stepping up. And, of course, her involvement with Special Olympics kind of dig down deep with her family and with her sister. So it's something that, you know, she plays support. But I think for every single player in the league, you'll find that they're doing something, whether it's in the community that the WNBA team is in or it's in the community from where they're from. You know, I think we all take it upon ourselves to make a difference.
Well, you know, one place where you're definitely going to have to make a difference as we segue into basketball is on the court this year. Your backcourt is gone, except for Brianne and Laisha. So things are looking a little different in Indy this year, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. But, you know, I'm excited, obviously, losing Katie to Connecticut and going over to Phoenix and then Jessica Davenport retiring. I mean, that left three gaping holes in our team and just what they've been able to give the team the last few years. And so, you know, the replacement is not going to be easy. But I think I'm excited the most just having younger players come in and the excitement that they have. Training camp has started. So, you know, the excitement that they have, and it's just like, They're so anxious to learn. They're so anxious to be there, and you know, they're just there to soak up everything. And so, you know, we have some big shoes to fill, but I feel like it's a team effort. And just like when one player gets hurt, when one player gets injured, other people step up. I think it's the same thing. And when one or two or three players leave, you know, it provides an opportunity for other people to step up and new players to come in and get a feel for the league.
You know, we had media day in Connecticut yesterday, and I was talking to Katie about the fact that the team is young, and she made the comment about how having so much young talent around can really invigorate you and really revitalize you as a veteran. Is that the approach, and that's how you're feeling at the start of camp this year?
Yeah, and they're looking to you to lead them, too. And so I think, you know, for all of us, it's kind of like, okay, you know, you kind of get comfortable in the surroundings you're in, and you get comfortable playing with the players that you play with year after year after year. So, you know, you kind of get into a situation where you have younger players that come in, and they do. They give you that spark. They give you that energy, and it allows you to kind of, okay, like, I know for Katie with Shanae, of course, and, you know, just using her as an example, but you got to get up and down the court now, more so than maybe you would have, you know, being here or whatever the case may be. So I know for us, just having the younger players and still even trying to learn what they do well and, you know, just help them out every step of the way, yeah, I think that's important.
Well, you know, it's funny because I look at the roster of Indiana right now, the training camp roster, and, you know, everybody talks about how young the sun is. And, you know, you guys are in the exact same situation where you got the 13-year vet and you, and then the next most experience is Brianne January with 5 years. And so it's definitely quite a difference in experience. And that's something that you've been through before, though, with the Fever, too, when they've tried to – Lynn seems to reload, not rebuild.
Yeah, definitely that. And I think we're in a transition period. You know, Lynn, this is – her last year here with the team, and of course, Stephanie will be stepping in and taking over the reins. So I think even with Stephanie, that was something that was important to her, just kind of having a little rebuilding phase now instead of everything being different next year. So we're definitely different right now with the players that we have, and just trying to rebuild the chemistry, rebuild the organization, and trying to get back to winning a championship.
So tell me a little bit about the start of camp. How's it looking? How's Natasha Howard looking, your first round draft choice?
Natasha is looking great. I'm really excited about her, not necessarily just for this year, but I think that she'll be a staple player in the league. The skill set that she has at such a young age is, like, amazing. Sitting there and watching her sometimes, because it's like she does things and she doesn't even realize what she's doing. But I think that's the cool thing about it, is just watching her and watching all the younger players. Like, seriously, they're looking to get better, and they're looking to figure out ways that they can help this team, and that's what you want. So I think training camp for us, I mean, of course, like I said, we have a lot of younger players, but I think overall it's been great. Everybody's excited for the start of the season. The new players, the young players, the vets coming back. I mean, kind of trickling in from overseas, but everybody that comes back, it's like, all right, we're ready to go, and everybody's ready to play.
Well, the one thing for sure is that the fever cupboard is not totally bare, even though you lost those couple players. Because with the returning January we mentioned, but also, of course, Shavonte Zellis had such a great season last year. Karima Christmas is back. Jeanette Poland should be healthy. And of course, Elena Larkins will be anchoring the middle still. So I don't think you're going to get too much sympathy still in the Eastern Conference.
No, and then, of course, Lazier, a first-round pick from last year, too, included with that group. I mean, everybody's gotten better in the offseason, so that's definitely a plus when you come to training camp and nobody stayed the same, but everybody's gotten a lot better. And, that's exciting to see, whether you went overseas, whether you stayed. We had a couple players that stayed on stateside this offseason, but, when you add that mix that we had and that core group that we do have and that we're able to build off of, it does make for, when you look at the rookies that we're bringing in, such as Tasha, how they'll just fit right in.
What do you think about all this shakeup in the Eastern Conference rosters this year? I mean, it wasn't just the Fever. I mean, Connecticut obviously made big moves. Washington adding Wasson, and then Atlanta, of course, shook up their backcourt and changed things around too, and then they add Shoni Schimmel to an interesting core there. It's definitely in New York with Tina Charles now, and of course, Lambert. Enough said there. So it's a wild East this year.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot going on, and in a good way, though. I think change makes it more exciting and makes it more interesting. And, of course, you have your players that stay on the same team for years and years and years. I happen to be one of them. But I think when you shake things up a little bit and move some people around here and there, people get excited, and you can tell, they're anxious to see what the season brings.
Last thing I want to mention is, in talking to Elena, we discussed the fact that USA basketball was so important to her. I don't know anybody around that it's more important to than you. You looking forward to the World Championships this year?
I am. I'm looking forward to – I'm actually happy this year that the WNBA season will be over again prior to, going to the World Championships and doing training camp and all of that, which did happen like that last time. But, of course, with the Olympics, we kind of split, straddled it a little bit. But I'm excited. I think that it's going to be tough, as it always is. But, being able to represent your country is truly an honor. And being able to go over there and play with such great players that you may never get another chance to play with, that's the whole fun about it.
Boy, this one could be the changing of the guard, huh, with some of you veterans and bringing in some of the youngsters?
Yes, it could. It definitely could. And, we had that before. We had somebody kind of change the guard with us, the player that we looked up to when we were growing up, and they kind of handed it off. And now we'll be doing the same thing to the next generation.
Wow. It seems like just yesterday you were one of those young people making your first appearance.
I know. It's been a long time now.
Well, but then again, when I first met you, you know, what was my daughter about 8 years old, and she just finished her freshman year in college, so.
Yeah, we didn't have to tell everybody that, though.
All right, Coach. Well, good luck to you. Enjoy the rest of camp, and we'll look forward to the starting of the season when I know the Indiana Fever will be beating on people and playing as physical and aggressive as you always do.
Yeah, thank you, David. I appreciate it.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.